Grace and peace to you all from our God and Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, a German Lutheran theologian and pastor, knew a few things about what it meant to follow Jesus Christ, the cost of following Jesus in a fallen world. As some of you might know and remember, Bonhoeffer lost his life about 5 months before World War II officially ended. Hung on the gallows at the concentration camp in Flossenbürg, a town near the border of Bohemia, what we now call the Czech Republic. Bonhoeffer was 39 years old, just a little bit older than me. In his young life, he ministered to many, wrote very much, and sought to restore sanity and faithfulness to his beloved Germany, to his beloved church during the Nazi regime. While in prison, he ministered to fellow inmates and also to his captors, praying for them, even offering them the Lord's Supper when allowed. In one of his books, The Cost of Discipleship, written in 1937, he famously says, "When Christ calls a man, he bids him to come and die. It may be a death like that of the first disciples who had to leave home and work to follow him, or it may be a death like Luther's who had to leave the monastery and enter the world. But it is the same death every time, death in Jesus Christ, the death of the old man at his call." Bonhoeffer was a man not without his faults, but whose face was focused on the gospel and the true freedom that the gospel of Jesus Christ brings. And that's because his Lord was focused, never swerving from the will of the Father for him, that he would accomplish the redemption of sinners by setting his face towards Jerusalem, the city that stones and kills the prophets. In our reading for today from Luke chapter 9, I want to draw your attention to see a couple of faces, one that is focused and one that, well, isn't very focused, and we'll walk backwards through this passage beginning at the end. At the end of our reading, we are told of a man who wants to follow Jesus and so says to him, "I will follow you, Lord, but first let me say farewell to my family." It sounds like a reasonable request, doesn't it? This guy wants to follow Jesus, but first he wants to go home and give his wife and his kids a kiss goodbye, or something along those lines. So he's being pulled in one direction by Jesus. But then he's also being pulled in another direction because of his duties as the paterfamilias, the man of the house. Jesus then uses this man's statement to teach not only this man and his disciples, but also us. Jesus says, "No one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God." You see, the problem here isn't that this man loves his family and wants to say goodbye. That's a good thing. The problem is that this man already is having divided loyalties. His face, in other words, isn't focused. If you are a farmer, you know that as you sow seed in the field, or if you're plowing the ground, you want to do it in some sort of order. Otherwise, you're wasting seed, wasting time, wasting money if you go over the dirt that you just took care of. But I'm guessing since most of you probably aren't farmers, though you may have been raised on a farm, just imagine if you're trying to drive your car through town, but you keep looking behind you. Maybe you're looking behind you because the kids are being obnoxious. Sometimes that happens, or so I'm told. Maybe you're looking behind because you dropped your wallet and you're not quite sure where it is. Maybe you're looking behind you because you just have to make sure that the stuff you brought is there. You think you packed it all, but you're not quite sure, so you keep looking in the back seat just to make sure because you're not quite sure, but you are sure, but you just want to be doubly sure that it's all back there. Then all of a sudden, crash, you smack into the car in front of you, right? Now, of course, you wouldn't drive your car always looking behind you. That just doesn't make a whole lot of sense, just like a farmer wouldn't constantly be looking behind them as they're trying to plow the field, wasting time and energy. And so this last man we meet in our passage is distracted. He has divided loyalties. He wants to follow Jesus, but because he is so distracted, he can't. And as Jesus says elsewhere, one cannot serve two masters. Or as he says here, no one who looks back is fit for the kingdom. The second face we see, which is mentioned right away in our passage, is the face of Jesus. Jesus, you will notice, is laser focused. He knows what needs to be done and he cannot be distracted. This rubs some Samaritans the wrong way, that Jesus' face is set towards Jerusalem. But so be it for now, because this is not the time to dally around. This is the time for Jesus to make his power, his strength, his might known in the cross, in his suffering, in his death, in his resurrection. The Samaritans later will have Jesus present and in a whole new way after the outpouring of the Spirit on Pentecost. He will be present to them in his word and in his sacraments until Judgment Day. But for now, even though they think they're being slighted, even though they think Jesus is being unfriendly or rude, Jesus isn't. Jesus is preparing something for them even greater, and they just can't see it yet. They caught a glimpse of it earlier when Jesus befriended a Samaritan woman, and they catch another glimpse of it later when Jesus heals a Samaritan man with leprosy, but for now they are not on the radar. They must wait because Jesus is focused on the cross, because without the cross there is no atonement. Without the cross, the power of sin cannot be crucified and buried. This is because without the cross, also there is no resurrection. And with no resurrection, Jesus' mission to rescue this fallen world, this rebellious world, remains an impossible task. And so, people of God, this is why your focus matters. It matters a great deal. The impossible has been made possible by Jesus Christ. Jesus is preparing you, me, this world for something greater. The church is the beginning of that something greater. The divine service, what we are all experiencing and receiving this day, is a rehearsal of that something greater. So when you are focused on that something greater, when you are having your face set towards Jesus and his gifts, when your face is set toward the glorious future he has prepared for you, for all of his saints, that is essential for keeping the many distractions away. Because when you are focused on that something greater, that something which is true, good, and beautiful, only then can you be fit for the kingdom of God. And that is precisely why the Lord has summoned you here this day. And every Lord's Day, to hone you in on that something greater, to keep your face focused on Christ and his gifts, that your baptism, it still matters, that your every sin is forgiven this day and every Lord's Day, that you find the Lord here not as your enemy, but as your friend. That just as Jesus' face was set towards Jerusalem so many years ago, his face is set towards you this very day, here and now. And so as you go from here, you will continually be met by things that seek to take your focus off of Jesus and his gifts. Some of them can be good things, very good things. Like the man we met earlier in our passage who was distracted by his family. And just the other day, the Supreme Court overturned Roe v. Wade. This is a very good thing. Human life of infinite value is in need of being protected, supported, and loved as much as possible from the womb to the tomb. But when all is said and done, laws and legislation, while so important in stemming the loss of life this country has seen for the past 50 years, we know that laws and legislation does not change the human heart. But there is something that does, the gospel of Jesus. That is why Jesus suffered so, and why he sets his face toward Jerusalem, towards you, towards me, to every sinner in this world, even those we disagree with. This means we walk and we talk and we encounter those we disagree with in a spirit of love and compassion. In the same way we would approach a woman, a couple, who chose to get an abortion and is in grief, so full of guilt because of a decision they made. Our focus is on Jesus and his gifts, on Christ and his forgiveness that he has won, the new life he provides and sustains and nurtures this day and every Lord's Day. Approaching someone with compassion and love may blow up in your face. It happened to Bonhoeffer, it happened to his disciples, and it certainly happened to Jesus. But so be it. Why shouldn't it be the same for us? And so we still do what needs to be done, saying what needs to be said, with great love and compassion, knowing that even greater things are to come. Always having our faces focused on Jesus, the friend of sinners, the Lord of all creation, the one who bids you to come to receive his gifts, his love, his mercy, his forgiveness. Amen.